This is Bob Gras and Tom.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio and streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app and 710sports.com.
Final hour of Bob Gras and Tom. We are live at Seahawks headquarters. A reminder, you can listen to our show via the 710 Sports app. It is driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealers. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll eavesdrop. We're going to, is it Morosi?
I think we're going to eavesdrop on some Morosi. We're also going to hear from Brian Schottenheimer this hour.
Oh.
Either before or after Shaquille Griffin.
Yeah, we're waiting for Shaquille to, apparently they've wrapped up practice and he's changing, showering, whatever's going on.
Yeah, he was really dirty today, so it took him a long time to clean all that dirt off.
So as soon as he does, he'll hopefully be stepping into the room, and we'll talk to him about what's in store for him this season. And I'm wondering how much he's invested in his brother, just in terms of watching him or just seeing, getting feedback on how he's doing. Because they are so close.
They seem symbiotic, don't they?
Yeah, but they're broken off into groups. They're doing their own thing. I wonder if he's just getting constant feedback, if he's just checking up on them, right?
I'm sure that he is. I mean, they just seemed, their bond seems very, very tight for brothers.
For them to end up on the same team is just a crazy occurrence.
It is.
Isn't it? I mean, for
well,
twins.
The pros to be, yeah, I mean, after playing together, growing up together, being close like that the whole way.
Right. I mean, how many
same
times.
Same college.
Yeah, how many times do you see even just brothers who aren't twins on the same team? I mean, it's happened before, but usually, I mean, even the Bennett brothers, they never got to play with each other,
right?
Did they?
No.
Nope.
I mean, Michael Bennett's on the Patriots now. Martellus was there, but they're not, they never got to play together.
Nope.
Yeah, so they're a package deal both on the field, and I think, I'll say in the media endorsement, they've got that commercial together, right?
Yep.
With their, so, yeah, it's. Do you think Pete Carroll, there was something to that story that Pete Carroll just wanted to jump on and say, we want that to be a Seahawks story?
I don't.
No, you don't think so?
I think it was convenient. I remember watching UCF play Auburn, and Shaquille Griffith was the best player on the field. I mean, you noticed first because he was handicapped and like, geez, I didn't even know about this. Then they said he was his brother, and then you just watched him play, Shaquem play, and he was just. He was all over the field.
Yeah.
I think they value roster spots way too much
and
to draft for a good story.
You must think it's an unbelievable coincidence that they're both here.
I'm sure they had insight. I'm sure they talked to Shaquille and all of that. But I think their determination was made by what they saw in film and what that interview was like when they talked to him. And by all accounts, he's a great kid.
Mm. Yeah, an invite would have been one thing, but a draft pick's another thing.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't a seventh. What was he? He was a
fifth.
Was it fifth round? Yeah, they put way too much value on these picks to say, yeah, I'm not sure if he can play, but what a great story this will be for us. That's not how his mind.
So you
works.
Don't think it? Well, right, but you don't think it factored into it at all.
I think it's bonus
percentage pie or whatever the pie chart of.
I think the only way it factored in is they may have had a little more inside information on him because of Shaquille, so they may have been a little better informed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he
that
could confirm
sense.
What they thought of him, you know, right. Or just his personality, but. They knew Shaquille. They interview these guys at the combine. I think that conversation goes a long way. They've got the game tape. They saw how fast he was. Said, this guy can do something with us.
Now, he's a player.
Whether he pans out or not, we'll see. We'll see how much different his role is this year, where he's basically relegated to special teams last year, except for game one of the season, then just a couple of random moments here and there. He was a special teams player. So,
right.
Yeah, he's going to have a challenge making this team this year.
It would seem like it. It would seem like it. So,
well, if he's good on special teams, I mean, that'll give him a little bit of a leg up.
Sure, but they drafted a couple linebackers who they feel really good about.
Yeah.
It all depends on how they break the roster down and what they view his role as.
Yeah, the future for Shaquille, who, again, we're supposed to talk to in a few minutes, is, I won't say it's uncertain. I mean, he's going to be here, but what is it? I mean, is it just a question of setting an expectation for him?
I think right now he's your starting left cornerback who needs to play better than he played last year.
How good do you have to be just to be a corner? I mean, the level of cornerback play in this league is just unbelievable. I mean, you almost have to be great.
Yeah.
You can't just be serviceable like you can maybe at some other positions.
Well, yeah, you become a massive liability. You know, whereas if you're a defensive tackle and you're decent, you can stop the run. You're not a great pass rusher. Others can cover for you, right?
Right, you're a number three wide receiver.
You're
or
on
something.
An island.
Yeah,
you're a cornerback. You're on an island.
You're going up against the best.
And there's another X factor to be considered is a lot of times good corners are determined by their defensive line, and the pressure that's put on quarterbacks. And the Seahawks let their best pass rusher go. I mean, they're hoping they replace them, but that tends to make a cornerback a better player, is having a ferocious pass rush.
And that's true, but
a free safety back there and a strong safety
doesn't hurt.
That one's an intimidator, one's cleaning up everything, where Earl could cover, you know, sideline to sideline, and Cam was this menacing presence out there. So those factors are gone.
Do you think Richard Sherman would have agreed with that, or would have copped to that?
Because I think he would have conceded that. Hey, it certainly makes my job easier, but.
I think you have
he
to
would have thought he was great on his own, though.
Certainly, but I think he would acknowledge the role that Earl and Cam played in his success, the team's success. I mean, it's all one unit. They work together, I think, is how he would do it, but I don't think he would doubt his greatness at all. But the idea that, hey, we could yank Earl and Cam out of there and I'd be just as good, I wouldn't have it, I don't know.
Hey, Richard, is there anything that makes you doubt your own greatness? Well, defensive line play.
They played, I mean, you got to remember, he was a different cat entirely. I mean, he played the one side of the field and basically shut it down.
Right. If Sherman hadn't come before Shaquille Griffin, our perception of what we've seen on the field, I think, would be a little bit different. He's still got to go out there. Got used to a standard, sure. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Of all positions on the Seahawks team, right, across the board, being a defensive back, any spot in the secondary, you're going to have a lot of pressure on you to be excellent.
I mean, think about in his prime, how many mistakes do we see Richard Sherman make in coverage?
Mistakes?
Yeah, just plays where we broke the wrong way or coverage wasn't good.
Not until we saw him in that Atlanta Falcons game when he was screaming at people on the sideline.
Yeah,
did anything really stand out? I mean, he got beat at times, like any cornerback does, even the great Deion Sanders.
I'm talking about mistakes. But I understood he got beat.
Mistakes were in that Atlanta game. Remember, he came in and was screaming at
you're talking like post-Super Bowl, right? The one where it was here, yeah.
Yeah, that's where he yelled at everybody went one way, he went the wrong way, big Julio Jones reception, and he was screaming at whoever would listen.
Right.
So outside of moments like that, I don't recall.
Not a lot.
You know, hey, Richard, you know, TV copy where they're isolating him. Yeah, he I don't know what he was doing here. You know, you just didn't hear that about him.
He's just got to learn how to play the position.
Yeah, boy, Richard's, he's got his head in the clouds there. I'm not sure what he saw.
For a couple of years, he was the best corner in the league.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was much argument about it.
Well, it was him and Revis. They were arguing about it, comparing the two, and then it became, what's it, from Arizona? Yes, Peterson. So if he wasn't the best, he was in that conversation.
He set a very high standard.
Yep.
Very high standard, which would be tough for anyone to live up to. And, again, remembering that for Shaquille Griffin, it was switching sides, something Sherman never did.
He's heading our way, by the way, right now.
And we'll ask him. I'm curious, what was a bigger adjustment, switching sides or playing without those guys on the field with you?
Well, having Sherman across from him
would bring more attention to him.
But
you didn't have that safety net behind him that he had. And that's all due respect to McDougald and Tedrick Thompson and anybody else that was playing there. When you've got somebody like Earl, who's got the reputation that Earl has and the skills, the ball skills that he's got and the menacing power of Cam Chancellor, that's a big deal. That's a lot to have back there. And I'm wondering if that was even more of had more of an impact than just him going from right to left.
Probably. I mean, at some point, though, they both as individuals and as a group need to figure out how to elevate, because, like, we keep getting these questions texted into us every day. Last year, great wide receivers came in, and it was...
Yeah. There he is. It's a pleasure to speak to this man. We haven't had a chance to talk to you in a long time. Where's the love, man? What happened to us?
I guess it got a little busy, I guess.
Shaquille Griffin sitting down with us. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. Enjoying life. Definitely enjoying it.
Hey, what was the offseason like for you? Were you somebody that said, all right, I'm going on vacation, I'm taking a break? Or did you say, I'm getting right back to work? How'd you approach the offseason?
Gave myself a week or two, you know, just to get my body back right, you know, coming off the injury with my foot, you know, towards the end of the season. So after I got that, you know, corrected, you know, I was back to doing working out. You know, my main goal was to just trim everything off, you know, get back lean again so I can get back faster. You know, I want to feel good. I want it to feel easy for me to run and break, And I finally got that. I think I trimmed maybe 12 pounds off.
Mm. So, faster?
From your playing weight last year?
Yeah. Trimmed off like 12 pounds. So, yeah, definitely faster. It's easy for me to run. It's easy for me to break. You know, it feels good.
Do you think if you trimmed your hair off, that would help what we're trying to do? Because it looks even longer than it did last time I saw you.
Yeah, it definitely got a little longer. You know, I've been keeping up with it. But this is my power. This is my core. This is everything. So,
Samson.
I need it.
So if you could pick one thing you wanted to improve on this year over last year, what would it be?
I feel like it was much my mindset. I feel like last year I was so big on, I was getting these many picks or this many pass breakups. I feel like, you know, the maturity level of it, I feel like I wasn't thinking the correct way. So this year, you know, when it comes to setting goals, it's just not about, you know, the specific stats that I want. Mm-hmm. You know, it's first off just becoming a better teammate, a better player, you know, just correcting myself more as a person, as a man. And, you know, and help this team win ball games no matter what it is and what they need me to do. If I can help us win ball games, you know, and play my part, everything else, the accolades and the stats will come along with it. You know, and that's just, you know, the maturity level growing and, you know, being more of a vet and just going on through this league, you know, the years I've been playing, it's starting to finally click for me. So, you know, that's just a part of me growing up now. So I feel like it's supposed to win. That's what, you know, they brought me here for, is to help this team win. And that's the mindset I need to come in this year and do that. And if I can do that, help this team win, everything else will come along with it.
What grade would you give yourself on last year?
Last year, if I'm critiquing myself as hard as I can, it was a D. It was a D plus for me. You know, I feel like the players that they wanted me to be that person, the next person up, they can look up to, and that person to lead and to make those plays when there's plays to be made. And I feel like it was just average, and I can't be that average guy on this team. You know, being that number one cornerback position, they need me to make those splash plays and be able to count on me when it counts the most. And then that's the part that I got to hold myself, you know, strongly about, because that's the person I got to be. I can't just be an average player here. So I definitely give myself a D plus, and you know, the best thing about that is I can only go up from here. So, you know, I'm taking it upon myself to make this a great year.
You know, we were just talking a second ago before you came in about the different positions and the expectations. Mm-hmm. We were saying to play corner in the NFL, you almost just have to be great based on what mm-hmm. your job is. You're going up against all these great guys. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's true. And I feel like the main thing that I can take from last year, you know, I always play better when I played against greater receivers. And this year, if you look at our schedule, you got a lot of great people. You know, every game is the next, you know, top contender, top receiver. And then I'm really excited about that. So, you know, I'm already getting back into the film room, looking at these guys. And it's just cool to see. I'm excited to play against, you know, these high caliber players. And it's going to be an exciting year. You know, now my brother getting a little bigger role. It's just everything is coming to place, you know. And like I said, I'm just excited for this year. You know, it's so much things that could happen. I'm so excited for the things that will happen. And, you know, like I said, I'm ready to get back into it.
What had a bigger impact on you last year, would you say? Would it be you flip to the other side of the field, you're the number one cornerback, or is it the absence, the safety net almost of Earl back there and Cam back there and Richard on the other side? I mean, which had a bigger impact, do you think?
I feel like the bigger impact is probably just switching sides, because I feel like the safeties in the back end, the guys that I had, you know, stepped up in a major way, especially, you know, Bradley McDougal, you know, becoming the leader in that room. He did some special things for us last year in that defense. And Tedrick Thompson, you know, being the same year as me, just being that young guy that you can count on to make the plays that he did make last year, I feel like we didn't miss a beat when it came to that, because, you know, them guys stepped up in a major way in that defense for us. You know, now that I'm on that left side and I'm familiar with it, it's no excuse to the things that I can accomplish this year, you know, getting a better feeling, that understanding of that side and the things I need to do and what I need to control and accomplish on that side. It's going to be great.
How do you think your brother did last year?
He did good. He played the role that they gave him, and, you know, mainly, you know, special teams and any players they need him on defense. You know, he made sure he's prepared to be put in those situations to make plays. You know, even if it was just a couple of plays on third down, or if someone went down and he was there for a couple of plays and back out, he made the plays on special teams that he needed to. I know he had probably the most tackles, you know, on special teams units, you know, if not definitely top three, you know, and that's huge, you know, the top of the special teams units that we have. That's pretty huge to have the most tackles, you know, on the team. So he didn't take it the wrong way. You know, most people
right.
would come and feel like, oh, since I'm not playing, I'm on special teams, I'm going to just forget about, you know, defense. I'm just going to focus on special teams. He focused on everything. He made his plays on special teams. He continued to stay in the playbook, learn the defense, so when his number was called, he was always ready. And I feel like he did really well for that. So I definitely let him know that he had a pretty good year. You know, now that he's getting bigger roles, he's going from Will to Sam, you know, rushing a little bit more. He got more on his plate. And I just like the way that he's accepting everything. And he continued to stay more into his playbook and make sure he knows everything about the defense. And he continued to do special teams. So he's doing it all. So I'm definitely proud of him about that, the way he's taking it.
Have your lives changed in any significant way just based on your own celebrity? I mean, the two of you together, aside from the fact that you're football players, mm-hmm. you're Seahawks and everything, have your lives changed together in that regard?
It changed a lot. Yeah, it definitely changed a lot. You know, us being together, it's kind of hard to go anywhere now. But, you know, you never would have thought you would be in a situation like that where anywhere you go, someone knows you. And I feel like we've been handling that really well. You know, any pictures we can take, we try to take it. You know, we try to show love to the fans that show love to us, you know, and that's the best part about it. But, yeah, it changed a lot. But I think we're handling it pretty well. And now we got a book coming out. So,
nice.
Man, it's... There's only more that you can do, so it's pretty cool. But the main thing is we got to keep the main thing, and that is football. And I feel like we've been doing well with that.
Wow. Well, give the book a pop. What you guys wrote it together? What's it about?
Yeah, so it's about our life story. So from the beginning all the way up until up to my second year and his rookie year. So the book is called Inseparable, and man, that book can get really really emotional because it goes back from the beginning. So it tells you about all the things that we did go through and the reason why we're here now and the reason why we accomplished so much. So, you know, it attacks all, you know, varieties of audience, you know, parents, mom, dad, brother, sister, just that brother. It's not just about football. So that's the best part that I love the most about the book.
When's it come out?
It come out July 9th. Pre-orders are out now at, inseparablethebook.com. And I want to do something different. I actually came up with it yesterday. You know, for the fans who do want to pre-order the book, the main thing I want to do is I'm assign each book personally, me and my brother personally, for each pre-order that we do get. We're going to sign it personally to know that we really do love the support that people are giving us. So came up with the idea yesterday. I want this to be more personal for people.
Wait a minute. What if you get like,
you better stretch out, man.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
What if you get like a million orders?
Yeah, and that's the point. And that's the risk I'm willing to take. you know, it's always a good thing, you know, if it is a million books, you know, it's always a good thing. But I want to know that, you know, this is personal for us. So we want, you know, when you get that book, if you pre-order and we sign it, I want you to know that we personally do love, you know, the support that you guys do give us. So, you know, I came up with the idea yesterday, and so I'm definitely ready for how many books.
20,000 books in, you're going to get a rubber stamp signature. Or just
I want to feel just as personal. So I remember I was telling my agent, I said, should we just, you know, sign it, then make copies of the sheets and just put it on the book? I said, you know what? No, I'm not going to do that. I wanted to feel personal, so I'm going to sit down. I'm going to make sure I write my signature on every single pre-order book. So.
And your brother agreed to do the same.
Yes. So
you're not going to use a stamp. Boom.
No stamp. We wanted to make it personal, so, you know, we show our support. You know, I love and I, you know, for the people that support us, it's awesome. So
why were you guys able to succeed?
It's just the system that we had, the family, you know, the support. You know, most people don't have that mother or father or, you know, brother, sister. It's just our whole support system was there for us, you know, from the beginning to the end. They never, when it came specifically to my brother, you know, they never treated him differently. You know, the way they treated me and all my brothers, you know, they treated him the same way. It was no excuses for him. And you start like that from day one. They show your love and caring for others and other people. My parents raised us that way. So I definitely feel like the reason why we succeeded and got so far in life is because of the support system that we had back at home, you know, family. And I'm not saying just, you know, blood, relatives, you know, it's friends, it's people that was in your corner that really supported you and, you know, had your back, you know, from day one. You know, that's the best part about it. So I don't want to say it's just you need family to support you. It can just be a friend, it can be a coach, you know, it can be anybody that really believes in you. And sometimes all you need is just that support, just to know that someone really cares for you.
Are you guys both living in this area year round now? Or
yeah, we'll stay right there in Bellevue, actually. So not
okay.
Too
so
far.
Are you living together?
Yeah, living together.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, we've been since
been living together
here.
Forever.
Yeah, yeah, haven't changed.
Keep the status quo.
Yeah, so haven't changed yet.
What was that 1 year like?
That 1 year was different. I feel like we handled it pretty well because we contact each other every single day faithfully. So, but it was definitely different. I feel like the hardest part was me actually leaving.
Yeah.
Was the hardest day, you know? And I remember he called me after he went back home to take my pictures down, kind of clean up and, you know, take everything out the room that I left behind. And he felt like that was the hardest part because he had to see all these things, all these memories that we made together. And now it's like, what's next? And he wasn't sure. Like, he didn't know he might, he would end up back here. So it was, that was the question. So the hardest part was really the first day.
First day.
Yeah. First day was the hardest.
You talked about losing 12 pounds from last year.
Yeah.
Was that good weight you were carrying? Was it muscle? You trim muscle?
No, I feel like it wasn't the best way. You know, I wasn't no meal plan. It wasn't nothing specific. It was just I ate whatever I felt like eating, and I feel like being a professional athlete, I had to take care of my body a lot more than I did that previous year, and running around in camp, now in OTAs, it feels great. You know, if I'm breaking, like last year, if I broke on the pads, it took so much out of me just to do it. Because I was carrying so much weight. I still was fast, but it took so much out of me just to be able to do it. And now I'm breaking, with ease. You know, it's not taking too much energy away from me so I can continue to play longer, and be able to play with more technique. And when I get fatigued, everything still play a part, and it feels good now. So that's why I say I'm more excited by this year than ever, because now my body is in the shape it needs to be in.
Did your brother change his weight at all? Because I remember somebody saying, yeah, he might be a little small for that spot. They might want him to get bigger.
So what he did was he trimmed, because last year he picked up so much weight so fast for the combine to jump from 210 to 227 to get ready.
Wow.
And then so now this offseason he trimmed everything down. Now he's building back up the correct way. So, once he get that weight, now he's lean. But he still got the weight that he need, and he's moving fast with it. So that was his goal, and he's been doing a really good job with that.
Inseparable is the name of the book.
Yes.
July 9th.
Yes.
Release date, and you can go to inseparable.com.
Yeah,
pre-orders.
Yeah, inseparablethebook.com.
Inseparablethebook.com.
Yes.
Shaquille and Shaquem Griffin will autograph each and every one of them personally. Yes. It is not a stamp. It is not a photocopy. It is an original signature from both of them. That's the commitment they've made. Inseparablebook.com. July 9th is the release date. Man, you guys are fun to talk to. You're fun to watch. We appreciate you coming in. And, of course, we wish nothing but the best for you, man.
Thank you. Appreciate
you
guys having me every time.
There you go. There's Shaquille Griffin spending a few minutes with us. Again, the book coming out July 9th, inseparablethebook.com. Man, if they sell 100,000 copies of that thing, he's going to have, like, carpal tunnel.
I hope he can still go out there and make picks.
Well, he'll just knock the ball away.
You're going to see his hand. It'll look just like a claw. It won't be functioning like a hand anymore after all those signatures. But, hopefully they'll do well with that. Meanwhile, we're going to come back. We're going to eavesdrop.
Brian Schottenheimer.
On Brian Schottenheimer?
Yes.
Well, that's what we're going to do next. As we continue live from Seahawks headquarters, it is Bob Gross and Tom on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob Gross and Tom.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Bravo Golf Tango. Bravo Golf Tango. The line is in. It's time now for the eavesdrop.
It is the eavesdrop here with Bob Gross and Tom. We take a listen to something somebody said somewhere about stuff. Today that somebody would be offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer as they wrap things up for the day. OTA's happening out here. He was out there propped up in front of the media. Here's a bit of what he had to say.
Doesn't have to say much just because of the way he works. Again, if I'm nitpicking, he dropped a big third down pass there, right? We came right back to him and he scored. I think that was probably the best example for a young player, right? I mean, DK had the one down on the far, and then Tyler had this one. So he doesn't have to say much. He's a terrific player. He's a great young man and very well respected.
Is there a player that's taking on that role of leadership vocal now that Doug is gone, or that group of receivers?
Well, again, I think it starts with Tyler. I think Jerron Brown's a guy we all have a lot of respect for. I mean, he never questioned one thing that we tried to do with him last year. He did. Again, I say the heavy lifting, a lot of the blocking responsibilities and things like that, and he certainly stepped up in that regard. But as a whole, we have tremendous leaders on this team. I think you look at the offensive line. I got to say, in my 22 years coaching, I don't think I've been around a more vocal veteran group than those guys. I mean, the addition of Mike Yapati, along with Dwayne and Fluke and Justin Britt and Jermaine, It's fun to come to work with those guys.
I guess with Doug gone, the natural thought is Tyler would maybe play in the slot more as he did last year when Doug wasn't there for some of those games. Is that a thought you would want to do, is have him play more there?
Or? We're going to move him around. I mean, I think you have to move him around. I mean, that's where these guys, again, in year two, they've learned the system so much better that you can move guys around. Like DK came in, he's learning the X. Well, we're moving him all around too, and he's handled that. The best weapon for us is when they don't know where Tyler's going to be. And so we'll move him around, and he can do so many things so well. He sees the game instinctively so well that he's a hard matchup.
Along the lines of Tyler's leadership, can you tell us, is there anybody he's kind of taken under his wing maybe a little bit, or anybody that you've noticed?
Close-knit group. I can't really pinpoint, you know, one person. But he's always talking to him. That's what's cool. Like, even after practice, he's always talking to him. Just, you know, kind of passing on, you know, secrets and things that he's learned over the last couple of years. So again, maybe not necessarily one person, but he does a good job leading all the groups.
What'd you guys like about Jacob Hollister?
I tell you what, terrific acquisition. He's had a great camp. The speed element is awesome. Really good route runner. A lot like Tyler in terms of the instincts. You know, just the ability to get open. Has a great feel for coverages, man and zone, things like that. So I think you match him up in there with George, and we got some pretty explosive playmakers. You know, you guys saw George's catch today, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, looked pretty good. So, but he's been a great acquisition. He really has.
From what you've seen of Metcalf so far, what's reasonable rookie year expectation?
No, it's too early to say that. Just continue to develop, continue to work. I think the sky's the limit with the potential. I love his work ethic. He's a terrific worker. You know, whether he's catching tennis balls on the jugs, I see sometimes, I see balls flying around. So I think, again, a lot of it's going to be the timing that he gets with Russ, but I'm very pleased with what we see right now.
So Doug spent the 1 year with Doug, but what will your kind of lasting memory be of the time you had with him and the player he was for you?
Unbelievable competitor, tough, maybe one of the toughest players I've ever been around, just in terms of, you know, playing through bumps and bruises and things like that. Last time I talked to him, I kind of gave him a hard time. I said, it'd be interesting to see, you know, he's got that savage mentality when he holds that little baby girl of his. You know, but it'll be fun to watch him move on to other things in life. But great competitor, really sets a great example for the way the game should be played.
The backup quarterbacks you have, each kind of interesting guys' background. What have you seen out of them so far?
It's been fun to work with both those guys. You know, that's kind of my baby. Like, I love developing quarterbacks. I love watching them. You know, Paxton's got a big-time live arm. I mean, he really does. For a big guy, he's really quick and athletic. Picked up the system well. Geno hasn't been here nearly as long. He's got a lot of moxie about him, great huddle command, which is cool to see. I think the big thing for them is kind of learning what our standards are, what our expectations are in that room. You know, first day with Pax was kind of funny because he came in. He was prepared, but he really wasn't to the standard that we wanted him to. So we got on him a little bit, but the next day he was buttoned up and ready to go. And same thing with Geno. Geno came in, and if you don't really know what to expect and how much we put on those guys, it's hard to know what's being expected of you. So they've been terrific so far.
What do you think of the changes to the PI rule?
Oh, I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, I understand why it came about, but I think it's going to be interesting to see how it plays. I mean, we actually pointed out to our guys now, there was a play in practice yesterday where we threw a touchdown pass, and there was contact, and we just kind of, I think it was Nick Vinette, he kind of had a little bit of a bump or a nudge, and so we said, okay, you know, there's a chance that this could get challenged. So it'll be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Where have you seen that Rashad Penny?
You know, it's been cool to watch Rashad, watch him grow up. Watch him mature, watch him learn to kind of be a pro. You know, I'm really pleased with the way he's attacking practice right now. Like last year, he didn't know what he didn't know. Now he's got some leadership ability. He's getting a ton of reps because obviously Chris is out. It's been fun to watch him grow. The talent's there. We all know that. It's just him putting together consecutive days in a row, and I think he's done that the last couple weeks. But it's been cool to see him mature.
Can you play that role you talked about in terms of evolution between running and pass, given his skill set?
Absolutely. We had a little choice route that he ran, a little option route, and he ran a great route today. Set up the linebacker. The linebacker kind of overplayed him. He cross-faced him. You don't really see guys that big that can move like that. So there's really nothing that he can't do.
Is he any slimmer than he was last year?
Yeah, he looks slimmer. I'm not exactly sure the weights right now. We haven't taken the weights. I think we'd do it tomorrow. But he looks better. He's moving around better.
Thank you.
Jennings was the spot that West Virginia, I know he hasn't been on the field, but do you envision that maybe something too for him?
We'll see. You know, I mean, in that system that they ran there, they kind of tried to spread everybody out, and he's the big slot. You know, there's some teams that use a big slot. Other teams have the real quick slot that moves around, matchup type guy, but he's hard in there because he's so big and powerful. Been working hard, you know, want to get him out there, and when he's out there, we'll kind of throw him in the mix and see what he does. But his size inside, if that's where he ends up, creates problems for people.
It's only early June, but what's he missing by not being out there?
Just the timing element with the quarterbacks. He's staying on. You'll see him out here. He's got a script with him all the time. He's trying to stay up with it, but it's hard when you miss live reps, just throwing and catching and getting on the same page with the quarterbacks.
What are your thoughts on Arcila so far?
Again, just this is, I think, the first week he's been back. You see a very natural player in the slot. Again, he understands coverages. It just you see a guy that when he's inside, he knows where linebackers are, knows how to find the void. And then the ability to catch in transition has been cool.
There you go, Brian Schottenheimer with the media there talking about the offense to this point. And, again, it's so hard to assess what's going on out there when there are no pads, there's no hitting. You know, it's so stripped down. It is so stripped down. Really, the best thing you can evaluate is all right, guys look healthy, he's not limping, and hey, that's a nice ball he threw, that was a nice catch. Outside of that?
I was going to say that I'm hearing the Pete Carroll impact on Brian Schottenheimer on that last quote.
When he said cool.
Pete speak.
He must say that all the time in the coaches' meetings.
He's got to.
Because Schneider says it.
Everyone says it.
He must talk that same way to the coaches that he does to everybody.
Russell says it. Pete says it. Schneider says it. It's just infiltrated.
It's even got me saying it sometimes.
It's pretty cool.
You know, at some point, probably during training camp, we're going to be making predictions about what's going to happen this year. And
right.
Guys who are going to have breakout performances, young players. I'm leaning towards Jennings.
Seems like there's a real slot open for him, doesn't it? No pun intended.
Get it? Slot?
Looks like there's opportunity for a few of these guys to have an impact at that wide receiver spot. Mm. So definitely be talking about that as the season moves on or the preseason, and these guys will get a break. This is the time that they fear the most. The coaches.
Yeah, this is about 6 weeks when they're on their own?
Roughly, yeah. This is the coaches.
This is Malik McDowell season.
Yep. This is why he is Class A, prime example, number one. Guys, I want you to look at what happened here with this player. This is what's in store for you if you don't pay attention, if you don't take this seriously.
Knucklehead season.
Yep. Herm's told us that a million times. That this is white knuckle time.
Coach Herm.
Love it. All right, we'll come back. We will sum it all up next with Bob Gross and Tom on 710 ESPN Seattle.
It's time to sum it up with Bob, Groz, and Tom.
Brought to you by Heritage Distilling's BSB, Brown Sugar Bourbon.
The final word every day on the show of record at 2:45.
A mini headline we skipped over yesterday and today was that I saw Russell Wilson said he wanted to play till he was 45. Okay, so he says that. But the reality of some quarterbacks and the shape they're keeping themselves in, being able to play into their mid-40s, I mean, it's realistic. We're already seeing Tom Brady do it.
Well, wait a minute, though. We're seeing Tom Brady do it, but who else?
Okay.
Drew Brees is getting up there. Phillip Rivers.
But you admit guys are in better physical shape than they used to be.
They are.
When they had to bow out at age 36 or 37.
Well, everything's better in terms of physical conditioning, surgeries.
Nutrition.
Right.
Everything. If football gets to that point, and maybe it's not right this second, but if it gets to that point and guys are playing longer, and they're still taking hits, so this could all be, you know, solved without nutrition or anything even factoring in. But what would that do to the next crop of young quarterbacks who are coming out of college? Would they even be able to have a chance to find a job? I mean, if these quarterbacks are sticking around forever, what happens to the young guys?
But wait a minute. Let me run this by you. How many quarterbacks are worth playing into their mid-40s?
If they're like Breeze and Russell and Brady.
But a handful.
Okay, but there's only 32 teams.
Right.
So if let's say it gets to 10 or 15.
I mean, right now there seems to be an issue with finding quality quarterbacks, more so than quality quarterbacks not being able. I mean, how many backups do you look at right now and say, well, this guy's a starter anywhere else?
Maybe one.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, it's
you're saying that the number of quarterbacks, okay.
I don't think there are enough good quarterbacks yet for that to be an issue. That's going to be an issue, and maybe guys will play longer, maybe they won't. But if they do, I mean that issue's a long ways away because you don't really you don't have anyone being blocked right now when it's not happening.
What happens first? Football goes away or that?
Football's not going away.
Not going away ever?
No.
You're convinced of that?
Yeah.
Well, I think
it may diminish in its popularity, but it's.
Well, not. I think player you have a problem getting players in the next 20 years.
Based on what, the CTE thing you mean?
And now
what?
Parents not letting their kids play football, and that was never a thing growing up when we were growing up. That's a new thing now. So maybe in 20 years it's an issue.
I could see that, but I mean, you know what though? I think there's always going to be a crop of players willing to put themselves in that position.
Agreed.
I really do. I mean, let's face it. I mean, a lot of this means an exit from an undesirable environment. If you're able to make
that's a fact.
If you're able to play football, professional sports, or whatever. So I think
football. If it's going to be a professional sports conversation, football offers the least.
The least.
Least amount of money. Least prospect of a long career.
Right, but yeah, I think a lot of these guys that come from impoverished backgrounds will choose what they're good at, right? There's a reason people
obviously
still
right.
fight. People still fight. You know you're taking damage in that sport, right?
If that's what you're good at,
yeah.
then that's what you do. I mean,
right.
you make those kinds of sacrifices. I mean, how many players have we heard say, hey, if I knew what I know now, I'd still do it. Plenty.
Yeah, because that's...
Smart guys like Dave Wyman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some and other guys feel like, well, what else am I going to do? This is where I can have the biggest impact financially in my entire life, and that window is this long. It's I got to do what I got to do while I can.
Would you do it?
Probably.
I think I might.
I probably would. If I had that skill level and I was, you know, 20 years old, sure.
If you had that skill and you didn't use it...
Yeah, but that skill is developed by playing when you're younger, and now there's some discouragement about playing that sport when you're younger.
Mm-hmm.
The question will be, will parents turn their kids, or will kids turn to other sports more so than they are to football right now? We'll see.
Yeah, if you've got athletic ability, I mean, and you're not just a big person.
But if you're a kid, I mean, you have athletic ability, you know, there's the outlier who picks up the game late.
Right.
But most of the time you grow up playing.
Like a Jason Pierre-Paul.
There'll be fewer kids growing up playing, just in general.
But there'll still be enough to where I don't think the sport will be diminished. I mean, people take jobs every single day that aren't sports related, that they're assuming a lot of risk, whether you're a firefighter or you're a logger or you're any of these high-risk, high-reward jobs in a lot of instances. So there's always going to be somebody there to take that job, that wants to do that job. Same with athletes.
But our society needs we need firefighters. We need roads. We
right.
need buildings. Dare I say we don't need NFL? I mean, we need entertainment, but is the NFL necessary?
Well, it's not necessary, but it's an avenue for people, like you said, coming from different backgrounds where they're going to say, yeah, I understand the risk associated with it, but I can excel and make a living at this sport unlike anything else I could possibly choose to do.
The difference is one of the other differences is that anyone can become a firefighter. Anyone can become a policeman. Anyone can become a civil servant like that. But if you're not allowed to play when you're younger, it decreases your chance to play. We'll just see if that has an impact or not. That's
yeah.
the only thing I'm saying. And if it does, it's 20 years away.
Did you ever consider being a firefighter, Grove?
No.
It's quite the life they got.
I had an uncle, a couple uncles that did it.
Man. Did you?
Never. I wanted to be a bus driver.
I don't have the courage.
You want to be a bus driver?
When I was
I wanted to be
kid.
A long-distance trucker.
Yeah, I could see that.
You guys
right down
driving,
the highway.
Huh?
Yeah, I used to drive all over the country all the time. That's something I thought I could do.
It's relaxing in a way. It's meditative.
Well, if you watch The Simpsons, the trucks drive themselves. Great episode they did.
It's a lot of sitting.
It's a lot of sitting.
What do you think we do now?
We're doing a lot of sitting right now.
But we can get up and move. You got to pull over if you're a long...
That's a good point.
You can't just get up and walk around the bed of the truck. Unless they drive themselves, of course. And you, know.
And you can. The great secret.
All right, that does it for us. Want to thank our guests today, El Hombre, Michael Bradley, Gary Hill, and, of course, Shaquille Griffin all joined us on the program. If you missed any of that, you missed a lot. So go to 710sports.com, click that podcast button, scroll down to our picture and click on that, and everything you missed is waiting for you right there each and every single day. We're going to be back with you tomorrow right here with Bob Gross and Tom.
like Pete Rose says, you never know if the umpire's going to change his mind.
The guy that doesn't want to reach across his bed to get the remote control is going to sprint to first base
for
on a
walk. $25 million? You don't think I would do anything they tell me to do and more?
Yes, I do. I think if you never made any money and they said, here's an opportunity of a lifetime. Yes, like all of us would.
I don't think that's a great excuse either. I think you can at least run to first.